And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Heavy on people.
What do you mean? You're gonna sit down where?
Well, it's hard to notice my posture because the camera's kind of close, but I'm really leaned into it like we're gonna have an intimate moment, you know, like a speech of some kind.
I don't intend.
You look serious.
I don't intend to have an intimate moment.
Yeah, Dan picked up on my vibe.
Yeah. All right, here's what we got going on the show tonight. There was an article that it's been sitting in my list of stuff for the last 3 weeks. It was a New York Times article on torn over Donald Trump and cut off by culture wars, evangelicals despair. And there were some local folks that were like part of that article. And I'm not sure that we should be happy about how Jesus people are portrayed in this article.
Oh.
So anyway, I think that's political affiliation and or current leaning agnostic. I'm not sure as a church that we should be happy with, like, whether we control this or not, that behavior is otherwise reflecting on the culture. We're like, yeah, we know how those people are. Like, if this is what they're getting from how we're behaving, we might need to reconsider how we're behaving. So anyway, we might touch on that. And then, Mike, we got a dog pile of news, right? Or like advice.
The first one coming through is a heavy-handed 911 operator, which I'm pretty sure they're making good sense, but it's gotta be six paragraphs long. I might have to truncate it a little bit. It's basically, you know, here's what it boils down to. They're basically gonna say, look, have your stuff prepared when you call 911. Well, when you call 911, you're kinda freaked out.
Organize your emergency.
Yeah, I mean, obviously most people are not apt at handling terrible emergency situations. I've called 911 one time when I set my own field on fire. And that was embarrassing enough, you know? And they're asking a bunch of questions and I'm like, I don't know, the fire's getting out of control. You guys gotta get here. And they're like, well, what's your address? I'm like, I don't know, the fire, look at it. It's really going nuts. And so, it's really hard to put all your senses together when bad stuff's going down. And so, I know why they're good at where this is going to come from, but I can sniff it coming a mile away. I mean, you're used to taking some pretty anxiety-ridden phone calls and Joe Schmo's like, bad stuff happened. You're my only outlet. I'm going to stammer a little bit, you know?
I'm always like, I haven't called 911 because I might have a legitimate situation. They're so like, probably what your question is going to be, you know, freaky about stuff. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't call. They're not bleeding out yet, you know. Maybe I'll just call the regular police.
You think they're going to mock you for overreacting?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is no emergency. It's like, who do I call if there's, you know, someone in my house? I don't know. I'm just always second think.
That was exactly my process. I called my wife first.
Yeah.
And I set the field on fire, and I called my wife, and I said, hey, where are you at? She goes, I'm up at the school picking up the kids like 5 minutes away. I said, that's not going to be enough time to help me decide whether I should call the fire department or not. I kind of set the whole field on fire. Wow. She said, well, you're going to have to make a decision. I'm not there. I'm like, man, this is what I use you for, right? Like, I mean, I'm prone to making ridiculous calls. And so I called the fire department. It was a good idea. It was really getting out of hand.
So this was an article that came out that said,
people are wanting advice. And sometimes, like, when they write into the Dear Life from the Path asking for advice, sometimes they use it as their own, stump speech, as if they're like, by the way, as long as I have the microphone, here's what you guys are screwing up, and I rock, you know? And so, like, that's basically what the first one's going to be.
It's like a cashier at the gas station writes in and says, quit calling it Bavarian cream. It's from New Jersey. It's not from Bavaria, and you look silly, and I think you should tell your readers.
Yeah, so I had this happen
at
McDonald's when I was recently, when I stopped at McDonald's for breakfast or whatever on the way to work. And like somebody with me ordered the menu says sausage McMuffin,
uh-huh.
And he said and I'll have cheese on that because it doesn't say with cheese. And the woman goes, it already has cheese on it. Like, okay, all right, calm down.
You don't say that.
Honest mistake from a guy that does not work here. I think you've overreacted.
Right. Hey man, if cheese is important, I feel like that's worth a checkup.
Yeah. And then she yelled at me because I said I'll take the steak McMuffin. And they're like, we don't have the steak anymore. We also don't have the bagels.
All right, making a McRib McMuffin.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll tell you what do you have? You know, I mean, I don't keep track of your daily menu changes, obviously. You know, I don't call McDonald's on the every morning and be like, what's new here? You know, I'm just coming in what I'm used to and trying to order the thing. And, man, she was snippy. She was not happy.
Bad mood.
All right, so we'll see if we can straighten that out with a proper Jesus worldview perspective on reaction to that advice. Also, Aaron DeWitt is in studio. Aaron is the worship leader at Simple Church, and we know Aaron. Aaron and I go way back. I mean, way back.
Yeah, way back.
But we recently were catching up, and he's got a cool worship event coming up, and he's just an all-around sweet dude, so we thought we'd have him in. And he's going to do a couple tunes and kind of share about the worship. So actually, why don't you just for the folks who are not familiar with you, sure. Just tell them a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into being a worship leader, and you know, what gets you excited about that?
Well, I've always grown up Christian. You know, I grew up in a Christian household and everything, and I think a lot of the times we take that for granted. You know, you know, it kind of misleads us at times, because when we do take it for granted, we can we just get lost in, you know, in what we're trying to pursue. And you know, I was pursuing more of a career for myself. You know, I wanted to play secular music and songs and stuff. And you know, my heart, every time I would try to write a secular song, would always bring back to, like, they would always be deeper. There would always be something there that was pulling at my heart. And God just led me to Him and to worship Him more. And, you know, I'm going to be singing a song that had a big impact on my life called, I Surrender. Because it seems like so many times, you know, I would screw up and I would forget about God and take Him for granted and everything. And then I would, you know, I would return to Him and be like, you know, I surrender to you, God. I'm so sorry for the discourse that I took, you know, through all the years, and, you know, how I get distracted so easily. So, and then that kind of leads into another song that I'm going to do, which is called No Longer Slaves, one of my favorites. It talks about how, you know, we're no longer slaves to fear. You know, we're children of God. And, you know, that fear of what people think and, you know, is such a big distraction in our lives. So that's had a big impact for me. And yeah, I moved recently from LA. I was out there for 7 years, and I studied music. I did a keyboard performance program there at MI in Hollywood, and met my wife Amanda out there, and we have two kids now. And
Do you have any only in LA stories? Like, you could tell the story and it's only believable because it happened in LA. Do you have any stories like that?
No, I when I was a server, I served like a bunch of famous people, Leonardo DiCaprio, and cool things. I don't know.
What did he order?
Well, it was an all you can eat.
He went to a
churrascaria.
Buffet? Well, that seems low rent.
No, like 78 pounds.
No. This is a churrascaria, though. This is a high end.
That's not a buffet.
No, have you guys ever had a Brazilian steakhouse?
Oh, yeah.
One of those joints.
Well, you know, I accidentally. Dan and I were at a Brazilian steakhouse, and I was unaware of what I had actually walked into. Until they started bringing the slabs of meat around.
That's right.
And there was no, like, prices on anything. And I
thought, that was me, by the way, that brought that slab of meat around.
You were the gaucho?
I was a gaucho. I served and prepared the meats.
I mean, that's a cool gig, but, like, I mean, it takes a dullard like myself a little bit to catch on when there's, like, wheels of great, like, aged Parmesan on the salad bar that you chop off yourself.
Yeah.
And there's no prices on any of the menus. I thought, oh, good night. What have I wandered into? Had I thought about this and, like, actually known, I probably would have had more meats, to be honest with you. I probably would have doubled down on what I was eating.
Right. Lighten up on the salad stuff.
Yeah. I mean, even at the expenses one, they try to snake you in with bread and greens, you know? Like, fill up on this, fool.
Eat this huge piece of garlic bread, you're gonna love it.
Sneaky gaucho.
Yeah. And the managers are always like, sell the garlic bread. Cut down on our costs.
I mean, how do you sleep at night as that manager? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you're doing to people. Come on.
It'd be $700.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I'm suckered in by the places that give you, like, a full crouton that look like a grilled cheese sandwich, kind of. It's like a big crouton, you know? I'm like, I get a break at myself. It looked like it was made like this. And I get super excited, and then I'm full on crouton. And then I'm like, yeah, prime rib buffet, eh. I'm half full of crouton. I'm not interested in none of that stuff. That's funny. No, I count that. That's an only in L.A. story.
Yeah, well, you know. But, yeah, my wife worked there. Well, my soon-to-be wife worked there. She was a bartender and I was a server. I started out as a gaucho, moved up the ranks to server. But, you know, it's kind of a lot of people are servers out there because, you know, it kind of gives you the time during the day to do your whatever.
Did you ever practice what you might say to someone famous when they came in?
What's that?
Did you ever practice what you might say to someone famous if they had come in?
No,
Man, I do that sometimes when I'm driving. I think if I ran into someone famous, I would say, hey, do you ever see anyone famous here? That'd really get them.
Yeah. All right, so Michael, let's check this out. So you're a gaucho in a Brazilian steakhouse. All of a sudden, John Travolta is at this table.
He's your fave.
And you come by, and he says, hey, how's it going today? How do you respond?
Hey, pretty good. I know that there, have you ever seen anyone famous in here?
Yeah, no, that's good, Mike.
I haven't said I've perfected it.
Have you got your second line down?
I couldn't say anything. I'd be so starstruck.
Why would you? I mean, what am I supposed to say? Hey, John. I mean, that seems a bit forward. Maybe I'd say, what would you like to drink, sir?
Did you fly in today?
Yeah.
So, Mike, I guess maybe what I'm getting at is maybe you should spend less time pondering. You've not come up with anything that's anything fancier than you would say to just regular Joe.
Any interaction that I've had with people at a higher position of a social status than me has always been a disaster. Yeah. In fact, I did one today. The owner of the company happened to be at my place, and I didn't know it was the owner of the company.
Of course.
And so there was a food truck coming to work, you know, and there's a bunch of people standing around, and I can't even figure out where the discernible line is to get in line for this pizza. And so this guy in pretty fancy outfit come rolling by. He said, hey, how's it going? I said, how long have you been here? And he goes, at this company? I said, no, in this general area. How long have you been here? I can't figure out where the line is, you know? And he goes, oh, you know, I don't know, a half hour. I think the line is over this way. And I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks, man.
That's so funny.
And then he comes stand by me and he said, you know, I bought a food truck at an auction one time. I said, really? Because usually I'm bidding on like a line of shovels and I get to pick one for like $5. I said, you went with the food truck. He goes, yeah, I think it'll be a good investment over the long run. I said, well, I felt the same way about the shovel. So congratulations. And then we parted ways. Not only to find out 5 minutes later, someone's like, hey, I saw you were talking to the owner of the company. I'm like, disaster. Every time I run into one of these guys, I always end up, I don't know, running my yap like it's some kind of blue collar fisherman I met on the road, you know?
So I bought a food truck. I bought a shovel.
Who goes to an auction and buys a food truck? It's outrageous.
Hey, did you guys see that internet video of the guy playing the shovel? Like that electrified shovel got 3 strings on it?
No.
No.
I think I saw a picture of it, but I didn't actually click on it.
It's awesome. I mean, it's swear word
awesome.
It's kind
of like one of those cigar box guitar type things.
Yeah. I might try to see if I can find the audio, but this guy's whiz bang great.
I mean, do you ever go to bed at night and think, this is what I did with my day?
No.
I watched a man play the shovel.
Frankly, I watch it at work while I'm supposed to be doing other things.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
like Dan does. He does it in the church setting. I do it on the corporate dime. Alright, so let's do this. We kind of learned a little bit about, Aaron formally. Let's hear from him musically. So, the first song you were going to do, you said it was, I Surrender?
I Surrender, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, sweet. And so you said this one had a pretty big impact on your life?
There's times when you just come to on your knees to God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's not until we come to that point, you know, it's just, when he really starts to work, you know, when we just let him take control of our lives and just, you know, surrender all to him. And so this song, you know, there was just this night in my apartment in L.A. that it just, I just was on my knees singing it, and it just had such a big impact in my life. And from there, you know, I just loved worship music. You know, one of the big things that has made a big impact is listening to Christian music. And I think, you know, I said this at Sunday morning, this last Sunday. But, you know, it's like, if we have Christian music playing in our head, and that's going through our heads throughout the day, because one of the biggest things, you know, I think as Christians that is bad for us is that we forget about, you know, after Sunday morning, come Tuesday at 3 o'clock, we're so distracted from everything else going on having these songs stuck in our head, waking up in the morning, singing praises to, you know, I wake up in the mornings now, you know, singing, Lord, I need you, you know, and, you know, God, I surrender to you. I'm no longer a slave to fear. You know,
it's weird how that works. Cause like, that'll happen to me on songs that I haven't heard for like 3 or 4 weeks. Like, I'll just wake up in the morning and I won't even realize that it's going through my head. And then, you know, maybe I'm brushing my teeth or taking a whiz or something. And like, I realize the song is playing and it wasn't one that I heard yesterday. It wasn't one that we sang recently. It's just like that just is the soundtrack of that morning is this tune is going through. And like, every once in a while I realize it, clear enough that I can say thanks for it, right? To recognize that that's in there, and that's you're right. It does. It kind of just kind of carries the day, and it gives you a grounding in times where otherwise you're in kind of an atmosphere where it's that type of thing that is your grounding, to whatever's going on around you.
Yeah, music is so powerful, man.
Yeah,
it really is. You know, are you going to have Jay-Z flowing through your head during the days, or are you going to have, you know, the praises of God flowing through your head, you know? So how is that going to influence you? You know what I mean? So it's, I think it's such a big thing that just gets overlooked a lot of the time.
Yeah, no, that's true. In fact, that hit my life maybe 2 or 3 days ago as I caught myself jumping up and getting down. And it's because I'd put the wrong thing in my head, Aaron.
That's right.
And that's,
that'll happen.
That's what happened in my life. All right.
Not to say it's a bad thing, but you know, it's just, to each their own, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't know. Deuteronomy's pretty clear. There ain't no jumping. The Lord don't dig on that.
Yeah, the Lord doesn't like no jumping around.
It's the crisscross.
Hey,
fun in Christianity.
What do you do with the Lord's leaping for Christmas? Are a leaping.
It's not biblical, Ben.
No, that's, shoot. I'm going to have to rethink. Most of my theology is based upon that tune.
I've been celebrating Christmas for 12 days.
All right, cool. Well, go ahead and fire it up. This is Aaron DeWitt. And I Surrender, you're listening to Live from the Path.
Cool.
Have your way in me.
have your way in me.
Cool. You don't think of someone saying, hey, I'm going off to L.A. to find Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you always think, hey, you're running off to L.A. to kind of escape Jesus a little bit. So I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that, not that you, you had Jesus before, but you kind of went to a deeper level with him there. I think actually that's kind of neat in the context of all that there is, you know, hanging out with Hollywood people.
Yeah, we keep Halloween here.
Halloween people. Sorry, people who aren't me. People on a different level than Mike and I. That's just kind of cool that in the midst of that, you know, you're in your apartment, you're singing this song, and it's becoming real. That I don't know, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it totally was. You're absolutely right. I totally took it deeper than I'd ever imagined, because, like I said, you know, when you're a Christian, your whole life you do take it for granted. You know, you don't really realize. You know, you go to church every Sunday with your parents and it's just the thing you do, you know, and it doesn't hit your heart.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it does, you know, especially for new believers, you know, I think they, when they find God and they really understand, you know, what they've been missing out on, then it's such a bigger impact, you know, a lot of the time, you know, and I think we can take that for granted as Christians sometimes, but that's what, this worship night that we're doing on the October 23rd, it's called, the theme of it is Going Deeper. And so that's exactly what I did in LA, you know, and I didn't expect that because I went out, you know, pursuing, you know, I wanted to do composing, initially, and I did, and I composed for some independent films and, did a bunch of projects, and I'm still a composer today, and I just did the, Service Legends commercial, here in Des Moines.
Sweet.
One of them. But yeah, God tugged at my heart, and I don't want to do anything but serve him and live my life for him, because that seriously is the most fulfilling life there is.
Right.
I mean, he takes away all my fears. He gives me life, you know, and abundantly, and I don't see any other way.
So tell us a little bit more about that, about the worship night. So you have the date, like what's, is it open to the public? Can anybody come?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's, it's sponsored by our church, but and it's the first time the church is doing anything like this. And so, you know, you can't buy tickets online, but you can go to our Facebook page and message us if you want a ticket, and we'll put your name on a list. But it's $5. This door's open at 5:00, and they have a little dinner going on from 5 to 6:15. We have some food there, and then from 6:15 to 7:15, they have the worship night. So.
And the dinner is included with the $5?
Absolutely, yeah.
You guys come up with little slabs of meat?
Totally. Churrascaria.
Yes. Yes.
Is Mr. Travolta?
I serve and prepare the meats and prepare the music.
Yes.
You know, something you said that actually got me to thinking a little bit was like the situation in which that song was allowed to grow and make a difference, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know how often I find myself being like, I feel like I just want to get down on my knees and pray and talk for a minute.
Man.
And then I don't do it because I'm like, I don't know, is all that really necessary right now? I mean,
yeah.
That seems a bit much, you know? But like the truth of the matter is I've talked myself out of it way more times than I care to admit, where I wish I would have just done it because it was God grabbing and pulling. You know, like,
absolutely.
I need to talk to you, son. I need to talk to you, and you need it more than I do. come this way. And I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just keep praying on my way out the door.
I'll
get it. You know, we're tight. You don't know me and the Lord are, we're good here, you know? And like, it's abundantly necessary for you to do that. Like, I'm certain the Lord just yearns to speak with you in a way that you are open to, not only speaking and hearing. And like, I did not prepare Pope style advice, but I'm going to hit you with my short version of today based off what Aaron DeWitt is saying. But like, I mean, don't pass that stuff up. That's the good stuff.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? That's
so good.
That's where it's at. That's where the stuff happens. You think that like, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, you think it's going to happen because you decided you're going to read the Book of Job this week, or
right.
you're going to hit your because you're fairly faithful on hitting your Bible reading before you go to bed, or you always get the prayer in right when you wake up, or you hit it at meals, and you're like, these are the things that are solid and put me in the Lord's army, like the Bible study says. Like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And really, it's the down on your knees. Hey, Dad,
mm-hmm.
here's me today,
right.
You know, and like, that's where it's at. And all the other stuff is very helpful into getting you in that position. But like, man, don't ignore that. Please don't ignore that. Like, that is where it is. And then if you can shed whatever's blocking you, whether it's convenience or for me, it's generally pride and inconvenience.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Of why I feel like I don't have time to do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, standing 10 feet away from it. I look really foolish, even to my own self. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what an idiot.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm in a complete agreement with Aaron. Although I've attempted to sing, like, really heartfelt worship songs during one of those. And, like, he doesn't fix that for you.
Kind of ruins the mood, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I always imagine that, like, if me and the Lord were just having this conversation, that my voice would suddenly fix itself to be of a heavenly quality.
It's like angels.
It's the same. Yeah, it turns out that, like, Crowder's Come As You Are, not in my key range. Not in the one he's using.
Yeah.
Terrible. So anyway, don't ignore that stuff. That's where it's at. That's where it comes from. That's where you're when he says, you know, my burden is light. He can't really take it from you if you don't give it to him. And like, those are the times where you're doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I taught a class tonight. We're talking about prayer, and we were talking about the real key of the whole thing of prayer is the scripture where Jesus says to abide in me. You know, I am the branch and you're the vine, and abide in me. And we kind of talked about that a little bit, because after that context, he says, oh, and whatever you ask in my name, you'll receive. Well, what are you going to ask if you're abiding in him? You're going to be asking his will. You're going to be asking, you're connected with him. And that's just key to every area of our lives is that connection. And we get lazy with that, and we'll go through ups and downs in our spiritual life with that. But that's the discipline that we really have to endeavor to keep strong, is that strong connection with God.
And it's, you know, it's kind of crazy that's coming full circle, right? But like, who knows that the bagels and the steak and cheese McMuffin are off the menu? The people abiding in the McDonald's, where they belong.
Yeah.
And
you're
so
like,
what's
wrong?
That's right. They are thinking the way that McDonald's thinks, and they know it's not a surprise to them that there's already cheese on the thing, you know?
And see, and that's why oftentimes our prayers are not answered, is because we're not abiding in God. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's in his heart and his will. It's an emergency. All of a sudden we have this request. Well, God, I need my leg fixed.
Yeah.
He's like, well, that's not really in the cards right now. I've moved on to bacon.
Yeah, God, I want the bagel sandwich. Well, son,
yeah.
You'd know that if you stopped in more often,
but
we don't have the bagel sandwich here. You're asking for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Dang. And the Lord's brought it full circle. The grouchy woman at the McDonald's knows more about Jesus than I do.
Lessons awesome. From McDonald's.
Hey, it's weird you said that. I was reading in Jonah this morning. I was reading the story of Jonah this morning. And it was funny, like.
I never get that from Jonah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the,
yeah. Did you say Job?
Wait. No, it was Jonah.
Yeah, okay. That's why. Never mind.
Yeah, really. All right. If there's no humor in that, I don't know what there is, Dan. I mean, he could have been a pelican, but whales are still funny. But like, when the big storm is happening and Jonah starts to describe this thing, like the people that weren't God's people had the right reaction, a healthy fear of God, a right understanding of the circumstances, way better than the disobedient God man that was on the boat, jacking it up, causing the problem, one way from Jesus to begin with. And like, sometimes it just is the deal that God uses people that don't really belong to him,
yeah.
But like, they just nail it better than Christians do. Christians are still caught up in whatever it is, other framework that they've kind of perverted a little bit, and people on the outside are going, hey man, you're just, Shouldn't you fear the Lord that you're talking about, though? Because, like, if he can do this, I feel like you should have a different reaction than what you're having. And anyway, just interesting rereading that in the story of Jonah this morning. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're listening live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us so far tonight. We're talking with Aaron DeWitt. He's got a worship night coming up on the – it was the 23rd, right?
23rd.
That's $5 at the door. Get you some eats and some worship time. Can't beat either one of those.
Either one of those are worth the $5, but they've combined them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a package deal.
Yeah. Package deal.
I don't want to use the word fool lightly, but I mean, it's a package deal.
Raka, yeah.
I'm with Raka, Ben says. Yeah.
Raka.
I mean, come on. There's food and worship combined. Do you have any idea what's on the menu?
No, I don't.
Salmon.
See, it doesn't
it's
even
a
matter.
Surprise.
It's salmon, probably.
It'll be well worth $5, though.
Yeah. This is a fine eating. Oh, what are you going to do? Where else are you going to eat for $5?
Yeah.
You can't even get the steak McMuffin no more.
No, that's true. You can't buy anything for $5 anymore.
No.
But anyway, so people are interested in tickets. Is the easiest way to do it is you find a Simple Church on Facebook and then do the message? Is that the right way to do it?
Yes.
Is there more than one Simple Church in the United States?
Well, you can go to our website and kind of decipher the logo, which is simple.church. Super
right
easy.
So just, that's the whole website?
Yeah.
Simple, how do you do that?
Simple.church. Very carefully.
Why don't you have why
in
don't
a
you
dainty
have to,
manner?
You don't have to
ways.
Do the org or nothing? You
can nothing. Just, there's now a dot church.
Well, I mean, we better get on it.
Right?
People be trying to take especially pathway.church. People have, there's all kinds of pathways about.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Dan, you better get
look
at that
we
guy.
We talked about that a year or two ago.
What about realmen.church? Hey, speaking of real
start
men.
Start it up.
Hey, so... If you haven't gotten a chance to check this out, Dan's firing up this dude's podcast, and the initial one went through this last week, I think. Was it just last week?
Yeah, it was just last week.
Last week. And so anyway, I had a chance to listen to it, and like here's the deal: like we fool around with this on the show quite a bit, and sometimes we end up in the heavy-handed slapping dudes around category, which is actually where I feel most comfortable. But like there are substantive things to helping disciple dudes, right? And like I feel like that's exactly what Dan and Mike are doing. And so, Dan, when did you say this thing's coming out?
We're on Wednesday, 10 a.m., mm-hmm. and we'll have guests and everything as well. So, same type of thing. We'll talk about guy issues and connected with the Real Men Ministries and the conference we have once a year. It was a way to expand what we're doing there rather than make it one day. A year, it's something we can do every week and keep the conversation going. So it's very much like what we're doing here, conversation, talking about
totally.
Jesus, you know.
That's where it's at.
And you can catch that generally live at youtube.com/realmeniowa.
Yeah.
Is where you can catch that. And then also the archive shows will be there, so you can dig on that. And I'm sure, and the website just for the other content or for the conference and stuff is realmeniowa.org,
I believe.
I think it's .org.
Realmeniowa.church, you'd
dot
be
church.
Done.
Damn,
done.
It'll
only cost you $5.
$5 each? Right? Now you're getting eats, worship, and a website.
That's right.
$5.
Salmonfilet.church. Okay, so anyway, make sure you check that out, and go find Simple Church on Facebook or simple.church so you can pick out the logo so that when you go Facebook searching, you can dig that up as you see fit. Let's see, what are we at here, Mike? We got people that need some help?
Yeah, hold on. We're going to get through this white horse 911 dispatcher first.
Hey, just an update, Twitter update from a conversation we were having, maybe it was last week. We were talking about having to rename your significant other.
Yeah.
Like, because Dan said when you can't say boyfriend, girlfriend when they're like 40
oh, yeah,
or 50.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the wrong thing. So it came up on the Twitter this week. Says we can't do Bo because I was voting for he-bo and she-bo.
Yeah.
And Twitter says that... Twitter says that Bo is specifically referring to a dude, and I said, "Aren't we past that? Isn't that the benefit of the ambiguous nature of language these days? Can if people can say dude and not mean dude, can't I take hebo and shebo and let it do what I want?" What are your thoughts, Mike?
Transbo? Well, how do you say it?
That's what I'm saying. It's it just seems archaic to have to be that specific about a gender.
Yeah. Man, I listened to
I just want to say Evo.
I was listening to the show and I had like 10 good ideas that I was really, I mean, I was cursing you boys in my car. I'm like, these are what you should have used. And I can't think of none of them.
What did the Twitter suggestion was love interest. And I thought, yeah, nothing feels
Yeah, nothing feels creepy. Better
yeah,
than
that
like.
Sounds very sultry.
Yeah.
That's not the relationship. It's got a love interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it either sounds like guy behind binoculars or someone who's not committed. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested.
That guy running for, never mind.
Likely.
Shibo.
go ahead, Mike.
I'm sure we can discriminate against those guys too. There we go. Dear Life from the Path. I am a 911 dispatcher. With some hints for your listeners in case they need emergency services and must call 911.
I'm gonna write these down so I can keep the card in my wallet. Go ahead.
Please pay attention to where you are. The most important information we need is the address of your emergency. If you're on the highway, tell us the interstate and closest mile marker.
Isn't that why we have E911?
Right.
It tells them.
I mean, my come and go knows where I'm at. I've opened my phone and like, you're 15 miles away from a come and go. Come and go could figure it out. The guys that are sending life-saving ambulances can't seem to get there. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
It says, if you're on the highway, tell us the interstate and closest mile marker, which I don't pay any attention to, as well as your direction of travel. Many people assume that we can trace their number to their location.
Yeah.
Bummer. While that may be true for landline phones, it's not for cell phones.
Oh, dang.
Only the cell phone company can ping a phone. You think you'd be open to that as an American?
You just need an app.
Yeah.
Like the apps do it. Like you say, come and go, Target tells me when I'm 10 miles
away. Yeah, right.
One.
I mean,
charge,
I open it
charge up. Charge $5 for it.
Yeah, hit the button.
Everything's $5.
You open an app and you hit the button and that's your agreement to share your location with the 911 folk.
Yeah.
That seems pretty easy.
I feel like the government
$5, you weasel DeWitt? This is an emergency.
I'm just kidding.
You're a terrible person. No, a vulture of a man.
He's an entrepreneur. 911.church.
Someone's got to pay for that food.
Yeah. No, totally.
The salmon fillets aren't really $5.
Yeah.
Continued advice. It's windy. Here we go.
Okay.
I would also like to caution parents about letting their children play with a deactivated phone. If you want to let them play or practice, first remove the battery. But yeah, that's real fun. Many calls we receive come from the kids playing on a deactivated phone, and we're unable to call those numbers back to verify if there's a legit emergency. These calls also type emergency lines for people who have a genuine emergency.
Now, hold on a second. That doesn't make any sense because by that standard, she said you can't trace the cell phone. They're not really sending out an ambulance. They wouldn't know where to send it on a deactivated phone.
Agreed.
I suppose it's just that they're putting labor into trying to figure it out. Like, is this
maybe
really an emergency?
No, I mean, I get that. That's a legit thing, right? But, like, I mean, I suppose if the kid's, like, 1.5, yeah, I'd probably pull the battery out. But, yeah. I mean, if your kid's 5 and you're like, here, play with this
phone.
That's
why I keep the phone around, actually, so they can dial 911 with it.
Oh. Well, touche.
I mean, not
you
for
teach them to,
not they, for grins, but, like, I don't have a landline.
They said they were having a lot of problems with kids these days because they'd hit 911 and then no one would hit send because you got to hit send.
Oh, yeah.
And then the call would not go through. So, like, they had to change a bunch of posters and cards and stuff to be like, 911 send.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to think about, right?
Yeah, that is tricky.
Continued blabbering. My last comment is this. If you dial 911 by accident, please tell the dispatcher that it was an accident. We never get angry if someone inadvertently dials us. Our job is to make sure the public is okay. If it was accidental, say so. Otherwise, we must call back to make sure there is not an emergency.
Or are people just hanging up? Is that the deal?
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Whoops. Sorry.
I think I did that once because I didn't know it went through.
Oh.
I thought, I don't know how I hit 911, but it hit 911 and it rang once and like, oh, that's back when I had a landline and they showed up. I'm like,
ooh.
Sorry.
Wasn't me. I've done this on, this is the foolish mistake of corporate America, right? But like, you always have to dial 9 to get out onto a legit phone line. You know, I'm like, why would you do that? What if, I mean, because I've dialed 911 more than once trying to get out on a landline at the workplace. Final advice. Those of us in this profession do this job not because we are getting rich. Here we go. But because we want to help people. We're the most important link in getting people the help they need. But we cannot do it without knowing where the emergency is. Thanks for getting the word out.
Okay. I mean, there's some good points.
I mean, at the time, there's nothing to disagree with here, I guess.
I called the police once years ago, and we just moved to Atlantic, Iowa. And I didn't know my roads very well. And we saw a cow on the road. And I thought, maybe someone should know. I don't know. What do you do when there's a cow on the road?
Yeah, right,
so,
yeah.
So I called the police department. They're like, what road's it on? I'm like,
Farmer Road.
Olive. Well, anyway, there's like only two main roads coming. I gave him the wrong road.
Right.
Because I'm like, I thought I was right, but I really wasn't. It was like 2 years later. I thought, wait a minute, that cow was over there. And it's like, so anyway.
Yeah. Set the police off in a small town chasing a cow.
That doesn't exist.
Totally.
I ran into
the
border. I was delivering something for work down in southern Iowa, and it crossed right into Missouri. And as soon as I crossed into Missouri, here comes this cow, right? And he's standing right in the middle of the road. And he was there for like 10 minutes, and I thought, I don't even know what the protocol is here, right? Like, yeah, I'm in a company vehicle. You can't, like, start hooting and hollering and bumping the cow. So I inched up on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, every minute or so, I'd get up a little 6 inches. And I ain't kidding you. I mean, my bumper was touching him. I was touching this cow, and he ain't moving for nobody. He's got stuff to do in the middle of that road that you don't even understand. And so there I sat for an hour waiting for this cow to move. I mean, when we get out, push him, you know what I'm saying? He kind of does what he wants.
That's awesome.
You got to go spank him.
It was even funnier because I was driving a cat truck, and so a cow was stopping a cat from moving, and I should have taken a picture of it. There was some poetic semblance. Okay, that's it for the 911 thing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I get it. I hope if everybody in every occupation felt the need to, like, tell you about their business all the time.
Yeah, let me tell you why my job's great, and you don't understand me for the greatness I am. Yeah.
I know exactly what's on the McDonald's McMuffins.
And there's already cheese on there.
There are people coming over the wrong stuff. Why can't they just know what's on the menu?
McDonald's just gives you, get a sign that says, abide in me. Abide here so you may understand where the cheese is. All right, here we go. Let's see. Deer. Uh-oh.
What the heck, Mike?
Sorry.
You got one job.
Sorry. Deer life from the path. We have been learning about genetics in my biology class and how you have to get two recessive genes from your parents to have the recessive trait like red hair. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool, so I tried to figure out which traits I got from my parents. Now I'm freaked out because there were several traits I have that I could have not gotten from them. At least one of my parents must have been someone else. I asked my teacher without being specific, and she said I was right. Jeez. Now I don't know what to do. I wonder if I came from an affair that maybe my dad doesn't know about.
I would hope
that your mom probably knows. Bummer. Do you think I should ask? Learn too much.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I mean, this could become important later in your life, right? Like, there's genetic dispositions.
Is there heart disease? Is there, I mean.
Exactly, right? This is stuff for you to know. I mean, if bone cancer run in your family or something, you probably want to know that stuff. It's going to be awkward, though, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, did we have any idea how old they are?
I'm assuming he's in biology class, and he's fairly naive. So, like, high school, right? Junior high school?
Okay. All right, I'd bring it up. Okay, Mike, so what's that conversation look like? Hey, Ma, I've been learning about recessive genes, and I feel like I did not come from my dad.
Yeah, Ma, I have blue eyes. Y'all don't have blue eyes. That's not possible. So, is there something you want to tell me?
Yeah, out with it.
And then she'll cry, and you'll be like, ah, oh, man, disaster. Let's wait till tomorrow, and then you tell me tomorrow. Yeah, that's all right.
I mean, it would be a little awkward, but...
Gotta ask.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's gotta happen.
Yeah, I think it's gotta happen.
You know what? And probably, if that really is the deal, your mom been looking to get out of that jail forever.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? That just gotta eat away at people. Yeah. Come on, free your mom.
I mean, it's easy for me to say I don't think that would affect my life at all, but yet... You know, because I've not been in that situation. But I'm thinking, I mean, how I was born has nothing to do with it. I mean, I'm just like, I am who I am, right?
So Yeah, right. I mean,
that doesn't suddenly change me as a human being.
Yeah. Right. You're not a different person, really. Like, I get how people get to that mindset, but, like, in all reality, that knowledge one way or the other, it was true. It was true already, right? Yeah, it was already true. Whatever you just learned is part of what made you who you are today. Mm-hmm. So your identity remains unchanged.
Yeah.
God might be setting you up for forgiveness. Learn about
it.
Truth. So the question was, do you think I should ask? Answer, secular says, yeah, I do. But the people you should talk to are your parents to get the full history on family traits of relatives from other generations you may not know about. I actually got a little bit noble on that thing. But, like, what would that actually affect? Is, like, let's say that maybe it doesn't change the way that you look at your mom and dad. The situation's been explained, right? But, like, so your actual father turns out to have a family, and now you got brothers and sisters that you need to meet, and that really does open up, like, things really do would change significantly if anybody was interested in getting to know you. You know, what if they're bad down on their luck? What if that whole side of the family is just in the real straits, you know? And, like, not saying that, like, you don't get involved because of that, but, like, stuff you didn't see coming. You know, like, not only did you find out this thing was true, but it opens up an entire another world of people for you to get to know, and they may bring quite a bit of burdens or quite a bit of joy. You just don't know.
You could be the Joseph in Egypt whose job is to bring your family out of famine.
Truth.
That's absolutely a recessive trait.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Dear life from the path. My husband of 26 years passed away unexpectedly at age 46. This was 2.5 years ago. I have not yet started dating. However, I finally feel like I'd like to. I have an old friend from high school whom I have never dated, but I would like to explore the possibility. He lives in another town, and we occasionally message on Facebook. I need to pick up some papers from a former doctor of mine in that town, and I would like to see my friend. Should I ask him to meet me for coffee? Is that what, quote, buddies do? Or should I ask him to meet me for a beer?
What?
Would that let him know I want to sort of have a date? What do I say? I'm amazed you got married in the first place. Is this your game? You know what I'm saying? Like when you were out on the dating scene, this is how you got people. You know what I'm saying? This is how you mingled with the opposite sex.
I think she's overthinking it. Yeah.
Yeah, disaster. Yeah.
Just get together with whatever and see what happens.
Coffee's a good idea.
Yeah. Coffee. Dear buddy, what do you drink? I'll meet you for that.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go that route.
Coffee and ketchup. Not the condiment kind.
Oh.
But just catching up.
Yeah. I hope you're into puns. What?
No, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, you like that?
She's not going to get a hold of this man acting that way. That's terrible advice. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I was thinking about, I'd like to get together with you. Coffee, beer, what are your thoughts? There you go. Just throw both out there. What do you care?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, the worst they're going to they're going to say no to either one, right? Yeah. If they're not interested in dating you, the answer is going to be no either way.
I don't drink coffee, and I don't drink beer either.
Yeah.
So vitamin water, please.
Yeah, so no. Yeah. I'm not going to offer any beverage alternatives. Yeah. We're out.
Yeah. If you'd like to go out for a water, though, I'm in.
46 years old? 46, 2.5 years ago. She's almost 50.
I mean, I wouldn't know how to date anybody.
Yeah, I mean.
And maybe I'm too early in my marriage. I'm only, 10, 11 years into this thing, but, like, I just can't imagine doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that woman is me. And, I can't, if she died or something, I'm not interested. I'm just
nobody,
flat
out. Nobody else would put up with me.
Yeah.
There's just stuff.
And maybe that changes, right? But, like, I don't know. I'm just not interested at all. I can't even think about it. I always think about, like, every time I put it into simple terms, I'm like, where's the rice? And the woman's like, third drawer down the bottom, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what if a new woman come in here and don't know where the rice is, you know?
We can starve.
Not only do I not know where it is, but she don't know where it is. Now we can't find the rice, and now I'm taking on the responsibility of knowing where it is. She could have come in and fold the clothes different. And, like, every decision we've made that gets it down to Mike and Jarrah are this. And she's good. I don't know how you don't, like, disdain the new person. And once again, I've not walked through this. And I'm not saying it's not holy or wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, you know, when they want to use Tide, I'm like, we don't use Tide. We've never used Tide. We use the Biz, you know. Yeah. Or we make our own, you know. Like, how dare you? Or, you know, like, it just seems like everything, you'd have to do everything. All over again.
All a fresh start.
I don't like that sheet. Well, me and Jarrah picked out those sheets, and they're staying on the bed. And we've had them for years, and we're not getting rid of them. It'd just be terrible.
Hey, there probably is wisdom in that, like, knowing that about yourself ahead of time, that you don't put someone else in that. Like, you know, if you have to know that you can't be married to somebody else, even if there's, I mean, there will be parts of you that will, you know, seek that type of connection with somebody. But, like, if you know you can't leave that behind, you got to do that person the right way and just not agree to be in a relationship like that.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's a no for me. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Here's Secular's advice. Approach it this way. This will be classic. Call or message him that you plan to be in town to collect some documents and ask if he'd, quote, like to get together and catch up.
DeWitt for the win.
Right?
Okay.
Wait, how was it spelled?
That was me, though.
It's spelled the Oxford correct way. Continued advice. That can hardly be considered aggressive. If he's interested, he can then ask you if you'd like to meet for coffee or beer, or even go all out and share a meal together. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, put two thoughts together, man.
I don't think it's necessary to say you're in to collect documents. That seems... unnecessary detail.
I'll be in town.
Yeah, I'll be in town. What are you doing here?
The word document is just overly formal for what you're going for, you know? Like, hey, I'm picking up documents. Can we hang out? Yeah, that's a bit much. Yeah. You could just say, hey, can we hang out?
Yeah, that's like a euphemism. The people who say documents is a euphemism for prescription for diarrhea pills or something.
I got to go pick up my documents.
I got some documentation in town I need to pick up.
That's ultra fishy, too, because, like, you've left it completely vague. Because even if it was legit documents, I'd be like, what, are you getting sued? Or, you know, what situation has occurred that has a paper trail that you don't want to fill me in on that you can't pass in casual conversation?
Yeah, you're just in town. Yeah, that's the right answer.
All right, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I recently went grocery shopping with my friend, quotes, April. She decided she wanted some ice cream, so she grabbed a box of ice cream bars. She then proceeded to open the box right there in the aisle and eat one of them while we continued to shop.
Excellent.
When we got to the checkout, she paid for the ice cream.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say anything at the time because I didn't want to start an argument, but I feel that what she did was not okay. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, what, do they sell it by weight? Because, I mean, if they sell it by the box and she paid for the box, I don't know what the argument is.
Yeah. So with this type of rationale, you're the type of person that gets to a stop sign and stays there forever because you're not assuming it's time to go. I mean, I maybe it feels a little awkward, but, like, yeah, they don't. Like, I know people that do that with the grapes, and I'm like, hey, man, they weigh that stuff.
Yeah, that's actually...
That's theft.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But, like, you buy a gallon of milk and want to pop it open and chug half of it before you get it over there? I don't care. That seems reasonable. You're buying the plastic container, and if there's only half in there because you got rid of the other half and you're still paying for the whole, everything's fine.
Yeah, right. It's theft when you don't pay for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the point of time where it becomes theft. If once you leave the store and have not bought it, then I think you have a problem. But if you are still in the store and you shell over the money, whether you consume it before you get there or not, I don't know what they care.
Yeah. Now, well, it technically isn't yours yet, though. So, I mean, that's kind of the...
You are taking a loan, I suppose.
Yeah.
You're taking a... And the store can't necessarily collect interest from you.
Right.
But I would assume with the mass amount of money I put through your store, you're willing to grace me 3 minutes while I eat this
Sneaker
bar.
Hey, writing a check isn't an instant transaction either. Right? Like...
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, but by that... I mean, I'm just saying, we have a general agreement as a society that, like, proximity, check, debit, things like this are promises that we're all agreeing to.
That's kind of why nobody takes checks anymore.
No, that's true. It's been proven a poor system.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid. Where was I at? Hold on. Someone. Oh, yeah. I won a government auction for something. And, and they would only take a cashier's check.
Yeah.
Or a money order. And I thought, what? Like, I can't pay a fee to use the debit because I'll do it. Like, you said it was something outrageous, like $6 to use a debit. I'll like, is it worth $6 of my time to hunt down a cashier's check somewhere?
Right.
No, it is not. I will pay your outrageous debit fee that you're filching me over. And they don't offer it. Yeah, I had to go, or you had to pay exact change. So what I had to do was take money out of the ATM and then go to the Walgreens and buy crap to get me down so I had enough change to give exact dollars to this person. Because it was like something in, you know, 38 cents or something. And so I had to, you know, I bought something I didn't want from the Walgreens so that I could have the pennies I needed to buy this thing from the government.
Well, you stewarded your money poorly. You should have bought something you did want.
I couldn't find anything I wanted for that price.
You found nothing in the Walgreens that you wanted?
Soda was another 40 cents. I don't remember what I ended up buying. Gum? I bought a can of soda. That's what I did. One of the tall boy cans.
I've actually been accused of this type of theft before at a store because I brought my soda in with me. And so I had not yet to purchase one, but I had one in the car, and I'm like, well, if I leave it in here, it's going to get all hot and stuff. You know, I'll take it with me and drink it while I'm tooting about.
It's not super cold in the Walgreens.
Well, it's warmer in the car, Ben.
Okay.
It's my story. I mean.
Let me tell part of it. You don't know how to do it.
Please don't interrupt my Sony story. So anyhow, there's a confrontation. A man comes up and says, you didn't pay for that soda. I said, yeah, I did. I said, I just didn't pay for it here. And he says, well, you know, you can't drink soda until you pay for it. I said, I did pay for it. I said, do the barcodes get entered in different stores, you know, so you can like scan it and go, hey, this ain't from here? He goes, I'm not sure. And I said, well, I'd watch your accusatory tone. You know, like I brought it in with me. Check the tape or whatever you got to do, you know?
Yeah.
So eventually he dropped it. He kind of went away befuddled. Like maybe he'd stock shelves normally and thought this was his chance to get up the corporate ladder at the grocery store by roasting me about the soda I brought in.
This is my glory.
I mean, to be honest, I was willing to pay for, you know, the same soda twice if it would get him to calm down a little. But anyway, it wasn't a great story. Secular.
I've never stolen anything myself. Go ahead, Mike.
Secular's answer. Secular says, as long as your friend paid for the ice cream, I see nothing wrong with what she did. What I would find upsetting is if she had eaten something, discarded the wrapper, and then, quotes, forgot to inform the checker, because that would be theft.
Yeah, so if I would be upset if she stole something. Okay, yeah, seems right.
Yeah,
okay. That's fine.
All right.
You got time for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
All right. Dear Life from the Path, my husband and I are going on a 7-night cruise.
Excellent.
Big spender.
Nice. Yeah.
There will be a formal and a semi-formal night on the ship. I really want to go, but my husband says it's his vacation, too, and he doesn't want to dress up. Speak the truth, brother. Would it be okay for me to go without him? Oh, come on.
wait, on the vacation or to the formal night?
I don't know. We haven't got through it.
Okay.
If not, what can he wear that is not a suit and tie but will be acceptable? Just so you know, He said if he has to go, it will be in a Tux t-shirt and his Disney top hat.
What a jerk.
Totally.
On a 7-day cruise, he's not willing to give his wife a couple hours of joy.
I mean, to be honest, she married a man. If he owns the t-shirt, Tux, and the Disney hat already, I mean, did you expect much different? Now, if he has to buy it on purpose,
you know,
now, if he's doing it just for spite, then, you know, I feel like we need to have a conversation with the man. But if he currently owns this shirt and the hat as if it's part of his everyday apparel, I mean, did you expect this was going to go differently?
Yeah, right.
I wonder what he does for a job if he has to dress up super formal every day and he wants to get out of that and take a vacation from that or what?
I think he just doesn't do the formal.
Yeah.
That's how I get it.
Sometimes it's nice to dress up, though.
Yeah. Play grown up and treat your wife. And
no, that's very
uncomfortable.
You're
on a cruise.
I don't feel that way at all.
You don't like dressing up?
Not in the least. It makes me very uncomfortable. Like, change always falls out of my pocket. And, like, my shirts are always grabbing onto my skin. And I'm like, this is terrible. I wish I had a t-shirt and a jeans on right now. And then I would feel socially fine.
You need a tailor to have properly fitting clothes, and you'd love it.
Well, not everyone's a Monopoly man like you, Dan. You know what I'm saying? We're on a budget here.
Hey, well, you know.
We're trying to find the rice in our house. So, realistically, our advice to the man is, like, you're going to do this, Dan.
Yeah, the man should do it.
Love your wife.
I think it's okay for the wife to go without him if he absolutely refuses. It just would be very disappointing if that's had to occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You definitely don't do the Disney hat or whatever. That's a bit much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, that's the end of
slap to the face a little bit.
Secular says,
hey, wait, if I were the wife, I'd get my picture taken with a gaucho as if he was my date.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Secular says, you and your husband are not joined at the hip. If he prefers not to attend certain events during the cruise, that should be his privilege. However, it's your vacation too, and you should have the option to observe the dress code and enjoy those evenings if you wish. If a coat and tie are required on the cruise you chose, you both might be happier if you select a more casual ship next time because some are less formal than others. Yeah, that's true. Do you have to go on this, hoity-toity cruise? Can you go on one with just regular folk on it?
Yeah, I mean, like,
you can choose not to participate in the formal night.
Well, I think that's what he's attempting to do.
Yeah.
They have multiple dining rooms. I mean,
yeah.
How formal are we talking? Can we do, like, a khakis and a button shirt?
My guess is that they probably don't. It depends.
I'm sure they don't enforce it. Wait, get out of here.
I've heard they don't. I mean, how
far off the ship can they push you? You know what I'm saying? Like, all the way to the rail? Like, this is where the hobos stand
here,
to clean yourself up?
Yeah, I would insist. I would lurk.
Yeah.
Like, right outside the door in my not quite formal outfit until they let me in.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah, no, I think that works. No, solid advice. The guy should just do it.
Yeah.
He should just do it. Here's the deal. Your wife will appreciate the gesture, even if you hate it. Like that, in fact, that actually reinforces the gesture. You should do it. All right. You're listening live from the path. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us so far tonight. I tell you what, Aaron's got one more tune. Aaron, what's the next tune you're going to do?
No Longer a Slave.
How does this one hit you?
Well, you know, just, kind of like everything we've been talking about tonight, you know, a lot of the questions people have, there's fear involved in it. You know, I guess, you know, you can sum it up to questions or fear, but you know, it's, you know, I think when we don't, you know, an answer to a lot of those is just trust in the Lord, you know, and listen to your heart. And, you know, if you're, you know, what does the Bible say about certain things? You know, does it say listen to your husband or, you know, but, you know, fear is just drowning this country, I think. And, you know, we just need to get back to trusting God. And, you know, when that happens, it's just the freedom that we get from that. And that's just been a really big impact on my life, just the freedom from fear. And, you know, this was just another song, you know, in L.A. when I was in my apartment, you know, going through these songs and falling in love with worship, you know, with, you know, no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. You know, I am in his hands, you know what I mean? And that's where the best place is to be for me and for everyone if they can just take that step, you know? But, and that's why I think worship is so important because it teaches us these things. It helps us to proclaim them to God and really learn about it. So,
awesome. All right. Well, this is Aaron DeWitt with No Longer Slave. You're listening to Live from the Path.
You unravel me with
a melody you surround me with, a song of deliverance from my enemy, till all my fears are gone and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. And I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. Lord, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. Child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. Lord, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God.
That was Aaron DeWitt from Simple Church. Hey, man, I love that song.
I do,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, that's a solid tune. Hey, so, Aaron, a big thanks for coming into the show tonight. We
My
appreciate
pleasure.
You sharing your tunes. Make sure go to simple.church for more information about Simple Church. And the worship night's on the 23rd. That's $5. That'll get you some eats and
it.
Some worship time. And, again, it's not limited to whether you go to that church or not. So,
not
like, it's just God's people getting together and singing, having a good time and eating. And that's a bonus.
Absolutely.
Aaron will be there. He'd love to see you out. Make sure you say hi and say I heard it on Life in the Path. Let him know that you're coming, though. Go to that Find Simple Church on Facebook and just shoot him a message and let him know that you're going to be there, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, sweet. In the meantime, next week we have Jeff Arundel and the band are going to be on the show. And Eisenhower's back in. We haven't seen Eisenhower in a long time.
Nope, Bob's coming in.
Okay, sweet. So we're going to be packed house next week. And that'll be exciting. If you have any questions or anything you want to let us know, shoot us an email, info@livefromthepath.org. Otherwise, you can check out the website during the week for past clips of the show, including from Aaron DeWitt. I saw that the Light 45 fellows are getting ready to shoot that their music video for The Maze.
No kidding?
Yeah.
I'd like to be in that.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it'll be in town, though. I think we're out.
Well, how selfish.
Okay, all right. Anyway, but you can check out clips from those fellows. All kinds of good stuff sitting out of there on the website. In the meantime, hey, please be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.